Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King. Today is Thursday, July the 18th, 2019. It is 8 a.m. in New York and 5 a.m. in Los Angeles. That's 1 p.m. in London, 9 p.m. in Tokyo, and 10 p.m. in Sydney, Australia. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I am not yet officially a member of the Sleepless Elite. I really don't want to be a part of that group because I like sleep. But last night I went without sleep by working very late into the evening on creating the podcast, the first episode. And basically piecing this thing together, and I've got 9/10 of it done. I'm going to be finishing the last 10th today, and then today and tomorrow we'll be going through, and you and me and PJ will review it, and we'll say, okay, well, we got to fix this, got to fix that, because we got to be ready in time for our world premiere of the first episode, which we're going to
world premiere,
yeah.
Which live world premiere.
A live one. That's right. We're going to live stream it on YouTube, and it's going to start at 10 p.m. New York time. That's 7 p.m. Los Angeles time. And we would love it if you people would sign in and join us for that event. It's going to be a pretty good event, I think. We're going to actually start 15 minutes earlier, so it actually starts at 9:45 p.m. New York. That's 6:45 Los Angeles. So we can set it up a little bit and, you know, talk about the creation of it. And then right smack dab at 10 p.m. New York time, we're going to play the first episode for the first time in public live. And I don't know about you, Alex, but I am getting beyond excited at this
point. I'm super excited. I've been social media all for the last 2 days.
Which is a good thing. We got to promote this. We got to get the word out there. I just actually posted something. I almost never post anything to my own personal timeline.
Oh, I know. I just shared it.
Oh, you shared what I posted?
I shared it immediately.
Yeah. I mean, I actually posted something, which is pretty rare for me. I post something like once every 3 months or something. But, this is big stuff. And the more that we can get the word out, the better. So I'm asking our listeners, you'll find links in the description of this particular episode. I'm trying to include it in all the episodes leading up to, the event tomorrow. Please share, help us get the word out. You'll find the link to the live stream page on YouTube in the description. And if you can share that with people so they can, be there as well. First of all, it'll introduce them to our cast, who are a wonderful cast, and they actually introduce themselves in the video, including our own Alex King, who is one of the cast members. And so you get a sense of who they are and how you can just tell just from the little clips that everybody made, Alex, just how really nice these people are. These are good people.
These are good people.
You know, you want to have people presenting a message about law of attraction, because that's really what the show ultimately is about, even though we never actually use the phrase law of attraction in the first episode.
Well, that's the key. You got to sneak it in there.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what a show is all about. It's about showing rather than telling. It's about presenting by, you know, see what happens rather than I'm going to teach you how the law of attraction works.
Right. And that ties into our topic for the day, actually.
You have, oh, okay. So you've already tied, see, this is great. Not only were you prepared with the topic today, but you tied it into the episode. This is excellent. You're good at this, girl.
Yep. So today I was going to, well, after we do our announcements and such, I was going to talk about movies and TV shows that have law of attraction themes in them.
Oh, good, yeah.
But not like documentaries about law of attraction, but like, you know.
That's a good topic. We haven't actually done that one in quite some time. So I'm glad you brought that one up. Because you're right, there are a lot of examples of it. You have to kind of know what you're looking for.
Right, right.
But it's all there, right? Which kind of makes sense when you think about it, because life is where the law of attraction is.
Facts.
It's not like it's limited to when you want to attract a new job.
Right.
It's always playing at all times. In fact, Cindy Chavez and I were talking about it after yesterday's episode. She had seen this. I still can't believe this. She had seen, she lives in Louisiana. And I have to, by necessity of this story, include a little bit of political. So give me a, give me a little grace about having to bring up political stuff.
I'll allow it.
Louisiana here in the United States is known as what's called a red state, meaning that it's a very Republican state and very much a supporter of Donald Trump, the president. one of the big issues that divides the two major parties here in this country is global warming. And apparently there is a new trend now in the deeply red states and in the strong Republican states, to do this thing called, what do they call it? Coal running, I think it is, or coal running. Yeah. I think that's what Cindy said. Basically these guys with these huge, you know, Ford F-350 pickup trucks, will put these, exhaust pipes, you know, the big chrome exhaust pipes around the side, and then they'll feed into it this really deep black smoke. It's their way of saying to the global warming movement.
Oh, and that's so rude.
It is. It's terrible.
So disrespectful.
It's crazy. But it occurred to me, and this is my first reaction when I heard that was, you got two different groups, two different political groups, one strongly opposed to anything having to do with man-made global warming. They want to shut down, you know, fossil fuels and everything else. You got this other group that is totally on the opposite side of it, and they're both focusing on the same thing from two different viewpoints, but they're still on the same vibration from a long vibration perspective. And I don't think either one of them realizes. I don't think that the global warming folks realize that they are promoting global warming by focusing so heavily on, oh my God, the earth is warming. And I don't think that the people who are opposing them are all realize that they are also supporting the same thing that they claim doesn't exist. You got two different groups who are both going after this thing, saying, no, I don't want this thing. No, I don't want this thing.
And that's what you're going to get.
And that's what they're getting. Really, guys?
But guys, the polar ice caps are melting faster because you won't shut up. FYI.
This is true. There is more hot air in politics than in any. I mean, you can go to corporate boardrooms that don't have as much hot air as you do in politics. You can watch dramas on television that don't have as much hot air as there is in
facts.
Politics. Programs that don't have as much time. In fact, that's why news programs spend so much time reporting on politics. It gives them more hot air. But I was just struck by that. And so when you talked about, you know, bringing in dramas and movies and theaters, or not theaters, but TV shows and so forth, with a law of attraction perspective, I said, well, yeah, of course. Because that's exactly what I was observing last night. Like, yeah.
Right.
It plays a big role. And it actually played a role in why we decided to do this show.
Facts.
Right? I mean, when I brought this idea, what was the first thought that went through your mind when I brought up the idea to you? Can you remember? That was back in...
Besides the fact that I was really excited about it.
Yeah.
let me see. I was just instantly... I think it automatically made me think of all the women and men who are complaining about trying to get their exes back. And I was like, ooh, how can we, like, make this palpable? And, like, let them know what you're doing is wrong.
Well, it's not that it's wrong. There's no such thing as wrong when it comes to using the law of attraction. But what they're often doing is counterproductive.
Okay. All right. I agree with that.
They're actually attracting what they don't want. They don't realize.
Right.
Yeah. And that's really what our audio play really isn't about getting your ex back.
No.
But it's in the kind of, it's kind of the same ballpark because it's
But that's where the idea started. And then I started snowballing and I was like, ooh, I could do this and this and this. And then I was like, oh, I have a real life situation I can play off of this. This is semi based on a true life story.
Somebody you actually know. Wow.
Yeah. So this, for those people that get excited about like real life stories that are in media.
Well, they say, and I think it is true, the best writing, the best entertainment is drawn from real life.
Facts.
Even though it's turned into a fictional storyline, that's where the best stuff comes from. That's where all the best novelists get their stuff from. They get it from their own life experience or from the experience of people that they know. And it makes sense because when you can write about something that you know about, you write it better. You tell a better story, you know?
Yep.
You can fill in details. It's much harder to fill in details if you have never experienced it before.
And I feel like with our story, like there's something in it for everyone. There's something that like everybody can take a piece of and go, oh, they're talking about me. Like no matter which angle or episode you're thinking of, we're talking about you.
as excited as I am about doing this, I realized I got so excited I forgot to tell people who are used to hearing Joel Elston on Thursday that
Joel, I noticed it's a little quiet.
It's like, wait a minute, whoa, what happened? No, it's not that we've dumped Joel, not at all. It's just that Joel has another emergency that came up with a client he has to deal with, and he sent me a very funny text message to explain what happened. I can't tell you the details of it because that reveals a little bit about what's going on with this client. But suffice to say that Joel had to kind of roll his eyes and go deal with this thing.
Right. Fine.
But he will be back next week, and he promised that, and the person who promised it to him also promised him that he will be back next week. So Joel,
promises.
Yeah. No, he'll be here. And I'm glad of that because I love Joel. I love the stories he tells. I love talking with him.
He's always got a good story.
And he's got great perspective. His perspective on how to apply LOA in your life is just really fabulous.
Agreed.
There are a number of people who will teach very much the same kind of thing, but his perspective is so unique. And that's what makes it fun. So we'll miss him for this week, but for next week, he'll be back and that'll be good.
Yeah, he'll be here.
So, before we get deeper into the topic, let's do our promos and talk about stuff. First and foremost, promo has to be join us for the live stream world premiere of The Grass is Greener. That'll be tomorrow. That'll be Friday, July 19. The live stream broadcast will start at 9:45 New York time. That would be 6:45 Los Angeles time. And if I can do all the math, I don't know if I can do it this quickly, but we'll see if I can. That would be in the middle of the night.
Clock.
That would be in the middle of the night in London. So apologies to people in Europe because it's going to be in the middle of the night there. But if you feel like waking up and watching in the middle of the night, we'd love to have you join us. And then let's see if I move ahead. Let's see. So the middle of the night there would be approximately 3 a.m. That means it will be roughly 12 noon in Sydney, Australia, and around, I think, 11 a.m. in Tokyo. So there are some of our times from around the world. But join us, and we're going to start 15 minutes early so we can tell you a little bit more about the story, introduce you perhaps to a couple of the members of the cast, who you can see in a video that we have posted on our brand new page on YouTube for The Grass is Greener. And it's also now available because Alex is quick and as can possibly be. She's also posted it on our new Facebook page for The Grass is Greener, and in our is it also in the discussion group for The Grass is Greener?
Yes, no. It is. Okay. And it's also on our Instagram.
It's all
it's
over
everywhere.
She is on it, folks. She is on it. So yeah, check it out. Just go to Facebook and search for The Grass is Greener. I think it's going to come up pretty quickly because there aren't too many pages out there called The Grass is Greener, so it should come up.
Yeah, you can just search The Grass is Greener podcast,
and yeah, it should pop find right it. Up. Yeah, there you go.
And then under once you're on that page, our discussion group is within the page, so you can just click join. And that way, after every episode, you can go there and talk about the episode, what you liked, what you didn't like. You know, if you want to talk to the cast, you can ask them questions, all kinds of fun stuff.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know the cast members will love that, and we certainly would appreciate any kind of feedback. We think we have a pretty good script for the first episode.
But we're a little biased, though.
We are. We're always right, but still.
Facts. Wait, am I wearing that shirt today? No.
No, that's all right. You're wearing it in spirit. So, okay, let's go to our top. I didn't even complete all the promos, did I?
No, you didn't.
Oh, excuse me. So, not only do we want you to go see the premiere tomorrow night, but we also want you to subscribe to this podcast. And that's very simple to do. You just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net. And at the top of the page, follow the instructions that are there written for your particular device. It's actually written device by device. And within seconds, you'll be a subscriber, one of the hundreds who are subscribed to the podcast. And then, of course, share the fact that you're a subscriber with other people so that they can get their daily doses of happy as well. And you'll check us out on YouTube, too, because, I mean, as we're recording this, we always record it, live streaming it to YouTube. And you can actually watch us while we're live streaming. Sometimes we get people jumping in and, you know, sharing insights and asking questions and so forth. And we love that. And Alex, you're the YouTube expert. So tell people how to subscribe and how to get notified.
You go to YouTube and search LOA Today podcast videos. And once you've done that, you will see our smiling faces underneath. Hit the subscribe button. Next to the subscribe button, there's a bell. Make sure you click always and not personalized, so that way it'll notify you every time we're live.
What's the difference between those two?
I don't know. Well, see, that was the problem I was having, why I wasn't getting notified that we were live. Is because I hit the bell, but I automatically hit personalized, because that's the center option where you have to go above and hit always. So every time there's an episode, you get notified.
Oh, okay. Well, then we know what half of it is. Now we just got to figure out what the personalized part is. To be done at a future episode. In the meantime, though, let's talk about our topic. Because
yes.
As soon as you mentioned that, a few titles came to my mind, and I have a feeling that because we have a bit of a difference in generations here, we're going to come up with a list of different titles. So,
yes. Okay, you go first. What are your titles, please?
Oh, well, okay. The first one that comes to my mind is a film that came out in the late 1990s, early 2000s, based on a book by James Redfield called The Celestine Prophecy.
Never heard of it.
The Celestine Prophecy, Redfield self-published this book because he couldn't get a publisher to publish it. And it took off like wildfire. It dominated the what you might call the New Age section of the bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
And it had such a devoted audience. He knew he wanted to make a film, but he also knew he wanted to be really true to what he had written in his book. He didn't want to just turn it over to a producer and let them, you know, do what Hollywood does.
Right.
So he basically put together his own movie.
And nice.
Which is not easy to do, you know?
No.
Unlike ours, which is basically done on a shoestring, you can't do a movie on a shoestring. You, that takes a lot of money to do a movie, and it takes a lot of talent, takes a lot of expertise, and yet he was able to attract it, literally. He was able to attract, I saw a documentary on the film, and some of the actors were interviewed, and they talked about how they ended up being attracted to the film. Like, they discovered the film on their own and came to him and said, I want to be in your film.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool. That's a very cool thing. One of them is, for those of you who might be West Wing fans from years ago, she played the eldest daughter in the West Wing. She was one of the characters in The Celestine Prophecy as well. And there was another one too. I can't remember who the other one was. Somebody else who had appeared in a major television show. But anyway, there was this one guy, there's a guy who plays one of the important supporting roles in the movie. He was originally from East Germany back before the wall came down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he escaped from East Germany or if he simply migrated after the wall came down, but he came from that background and had a tremendous appreciation for freedom for obvious reasons. And also for what we would call law of attraction. Now, this is a movie that, again, does not use the phrase law of attraction.
Right.
But everything that happens, you can tell law of attraction is playing a major role in the way the script is written. And this guy was one of the people who came to the author of the book and said, I want to be in your movie. And I want to be in your movie because I have been experiencing exactly what you wrote about in your book.
Mm.
And I called. That's so cool. So yeah, check it out. It's a small film. It never really took on a huge audience, but it has its own audience from the people who are readers of the book, and so it did well in that sense. And it's a good movie. It's not your typical storyline, but it's a good storyline. It has a little bit of drama to it, and in fact, one of the main points they make is how people attract drama.
That is so true, though.
So that's my first nominee. What's your first nominee?
Pursuit of Happiness.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, that's based, the entire movie is based on Law of Attraction. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's that was what brought Will Smith to the project, is because he's heavy into Law of Attraction. So he was just like, yeah, this is a story that needs to be told. And it's a true story also. So that was another thing. And he actually spent time with the person that the book well, the book and the movie was written about. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed watching the behind the scenes of that. But Pursuit of Happiness is basically about a guy who's down on his luck. Everything's going wrong and he just has full belief everything's going to work out. He's homeless. He's got a kid. His wife left him, but he's going to get this job and that job's going to lead to this and this is going to lead to this and everything ends up, no spoilers, but it came out a long time ago. So get it together. everything comes to fruition. So it was a really good movie. I was surprised because I didn't think I would like a movie like that, but I'll watch anything Will Smith. So I was not even because I'm attracted to him or anything. None of that. Just I think he's that phenomenal of an actor that I will watch anything he's in.
He is very good, no doubt about it. He is a very skilled actor. He has a good range. He can play a lot of different kinds of characters.
Yep.
Yeah, he's very good. And I haven't seen that whole movie. I've seen like probably 2/3 of it from being on cable and you know,
well, bring your
looking for 5 minutes at a time. But the thing that what was the job that he got? It was an unusual job for a movie.
The job he got or the job he had, but then was
no the one he got. The one he got.
I believe it was like in stocks or, yeah.
Stockbroker, that's right.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think it was the first time I ever saw a stockbroker role in a movie.
What about Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh, I didn't see that one, but yeah, you're right.
I didn't see either. I just know Wall Street.
I actually read the book, but I didn't watch the movie.
I'm just assuming, you know. Yeah.
That's true. I think that was also semi-true. Was it? It probably was.
I think it was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. And now there are going to be some listeners who are saying, well, why aren't you going to mention The Secret? The Secret is a law of attraction movie. And I'll say, yes, you're right. It is a law of attraction.
But we're just talking about movies that aren't documentaries about law of attraction.
Exactly. Yeah.
About movies that have law of attraction themes.
And certainly The Secret deserves mention because it has been so influential.
Facts.
I mean, it has brought more people to law of attraction thinking than any other product in existence.
Yep. That was definitely me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was my first exposure to it as well. So
that was the only way to get my attention in back in the day, and now too. Like, I wouldn't have listened if it came from a book, audiobook, anything. You had to get my attention with visuals. I'm a visual learner, so that was the only way to get me in. And I think they knew that when they made this movie.
So I got to ask you then. Mm-hmm. We're creating an audio play where there's no visuals. Was that a challenge for you?
It was not a challenge for me because I've done the podcast now, so I understand how it can work. Mm-hmm. And it worked back in, what was it, the 40s and 50s or 20s or whatever it was. It worked back then, so why couldn't it work now?
Sure. Oh, yeah. People would be glued to their radios.
Right.
I mean, literally, there was that and, you know, going out for the barn dance. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot more to do at that time.
Not the barn dance.
I mean, unless you lived in New York City and you could go out to the clubs, there were no other, yeah, and the clubs were, you know, like they were burlesque and stuff like that. It's like, there wasn't a whole lot of entertainment.
Wasn't a lot going on.
You could spend your nickel and go to the movies, but that was about it. Yeah.
I know. My mom cracked me up, but she was like, yeah, it used to be 25 cents to go to the movies. I was like, girl, let me tell you about the movies now.
Yeah, right. If you don't drop $15, there's something wrong. But
seriously.
Yeah.
Oof, that's just snacks.
I have to ask you as an aside, have you been to the AMC movie theaters where they have the lounge chairs?
I've heard, but I have not been because I watch my movies at home.
Yep. Well, if you're among the generations who like to actually go out to go to a movie, I thoroughly recommend it. Because you have to find, you don't want to use one of the AMC classic theaters because the classic theater is an old fashioned theater. But go to one of the ones that have the lounge chairs. And I tell you, it's actually better than watching a movie at home.
Yeah, but then it's like you're going to fall asleep. Well, that's what happened to Louise.
That's exactly what happened to Louise.
There is such a thing as too relaxed. At least when I'm at home and I fall asleep, I can pause the movie and come back to it. Like, I didn't waste $15 to fall asleep to a movie.
Okay, I got to ask you, if you're asleep, how do you pause the movie?
Well, I'm a light sleeper, so I go, oh, I'm missing stuff. Pause. I was like, I've missed at least 5 minutes. I got to go back.
mm-hmm. Yep. Understandable.
Yeah, I'm a sleeper, but I'm very aware of everything that's happening as I'm, so I'm not really fully asleep, to be all the way honest. I don't think I've had REM sleep, and I couldn't even tell you when the last time I was.
Yeah, that scares me every time you tell me that.
Right? Ugh. Yesterday I had to sit in the sun and get rid of the bags under my eyes because it was ridiculous.
Did you try the stuff that PJ, my sister, told you about?
I wrote it down somewhere and then I lost the notebook.
Alex, we explain these things for a reason. You're supposed to actually keep them.
I did. I did get into the B12 and something else she told me about, but that other stuff I forgot all about.
Well, we're going to have to do something about that. So, 5 lashes with a wet noodle.
oh, my God. My substitute teacher used to say that all the time. And we were like, what?
What? What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. I was like, he's threatening us.
So, anyway, back to the topic of films and TV shows and so forth. You know, I said that a whole list of films came to my mind, and they did. What I'm realizing is none of them actually mention Law of Attraction.
Well, that's the thing. They don't mention it, but it's a theme.
I'm not even sure if it's an intentional theme. I think in most cases, it's unintentional.
I think most of them are unintentional, except for Pursuit of Happiness. I think that was intentional.
Probably. Yeah. But, like, I know this is going to be a strange choice from most people's perspective, but when I first saw the movie Sully, the story about the airline pilot who landed the plane in the Hudson River when both of the engines blew out and saved the entire crew.
Okay.
And saved all the passengers. It's a wonderful film to watch. It's a little scary while they're in the process.
While they're in the air.
Yeah. But nevertheless, it was a total Law of Attraction film from my perspective.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but I totally know what the movie's about, so I know I can see how you got there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And including they create a drama about what the Federal Aviation Administration did when they investigated.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, are we doing spoilers in this? I'm not sure if we're doing spoilers.
If it came out over 5 years ago, it should be a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler. Okay, that's fair enough. Okay. So in the movie, they portray how the FAA, their initial readings of the black box and the the various data that they had said that the engine didn't fail.
Ooh, get your black box together.
Yeah. So they ended up having a hearing and all that kind of thing. And Sully and his co-pilot had to defend themselves.
Right.
And then they did some simulations. And the simulations showed that they could have landed at a nearby airport.
Right. I remember that part.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Sully was, the guy is a brilliant pilot. He truly is. He apparently at that hearing, this is what they portray in the movie anyway, he pointed out to them that they had allowed no room for the human factor. So as soon as there was an emergency, they immediately turned their planes back toward the airport. And if you do that at the exact second that the engines blow out, yeah, you can get back there. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the way they're supposed to fly the planes, there are a whole checklist of things they're supposed to go through.
Right.
And they also have to figure out, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
The engines blew out. Right. Engines don't blow out on planes. Both of them? Really?
Yeah.
How can that be? Double check it. You know, you have to go through all this stuff.
So that's wasting time. Well, not wasting time, but it's using time. So it's not as cut and dry as they made it seem.
And then at the end of the movie, they show a scene where they say, well, it turns out our data was wrong. And it turns out that we did pull up a piece of one of the engines from the Hudson River, and it was just as damaged as you said it was, and so forth. And as you're watching the movie, you're watching, first of all, the emergency landing and then the hearing afterward, you just get the feeling that they're focusing on all this negative stuff, which normally that's the way most films focus. They focus on this negative stuff. And you would typically expect from a Law of Attraction perspective that if they're focusing on negative stuff, they're going to get more negative stuff. Mm-hmm. But there was something, and I can't put my finger on it, there was something about the way this movie was presented that made you think, no, that's not where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how the law of attraction, when we use it in our lives, when we're deliberately creating and we're focusing with feeling on something, mm-hmm. that's when we give the power to it, right? So that the basic concept is the more that we express the emotion and the feeling that goes along with the thought, the more we attract it into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling that was associated with the movie was, I don't buy into this thing that the whole thing's going to crash. It doesn't feel right. Even, you know, and of course I knew the real story. A lot of people knew the real story that everybody survived the landing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that, I guess maybe that was kind of in the back of my mind, but I'm hearing all this stuff that they're presenting in the drama and I'm not believing the drama. I'm believing the movie.
Yeah.
But my belief has been suspended. My disbelief mm-hmm. has been suspended rather. You know, mm-hmm. so I believe that I'm really watching what's going on there, but I don't believe that what they're setting me up for is going to really happen. So I, in LOA terms, I had a vibration going that said, mm-hmm. this is all going to work out okay. And then yeah. it works out all okay. That's what I mean when I say there's a law of attraction component.
Mm.
To it. And it's also what I mean when I say, I don't know if they intended to do that.
Right, right. I totally see your point.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking from Sully's point of view, that he was like, no, we gonna land this plane. It's happening. We're all gonna be fine. And that's where I felt like the law of attraction was coming through.
That could have been that. I mean, one of the final scenes is where he and his co-pilot are off on a break away from that hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know what keeps going through my mind? We did our job.
Yeah.
You and me and the stewardesses and the passengers, the crew, everybody, we all did our job and that's why we came through this.
Yeah.
And that to me sounded like what you just said. He was focused on this is all going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
We all did our job.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah. It's also a reminder too that you can't control outcomes.
Mm.
You can influence outcomes. You can intend outcomes, mm-hmm. but the way outcomes arrive are usually not what you had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
They will get there eventually.
So true. So
but
true.
Don't try predicting how you're going to get there. Let me tell you, your batting averages are really
bad.
You will
go drive yourself insane. Let me tell you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And actually, learning to let go of that will drive you insane too. But it's a nice mm-hmm. kind of insane. That one, at least you're letting go.
mm-hmm.
So, Sully's my number two on the list. Who's your number two?
Okay. So, like, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then another one just popped in my head, but I can't remember the name of the movie.
Oh.
It's about this little girl who comes from like a religious family, and she ends up getting really sick, and none of the doctors in her area can figure out what she has. I think she's from down south somewhere, and you know the Bible Belt, so they're like, we're gonna pray it away, it'll be fine, and they can't figure out what it is. Her stomach is bloated out to here, but again they don't know what it is. She keeps vomiting. And then they're taking her to Boston to try to figure out, you know, what could it possibly be? These are the best doctors in the world. The church is like saving money to fly her to Boston, all kinds of stuff. And she comes back home with no answers. And then she ends up falling out of a tree and dies. And she said she went to heaven. And after that trip to heaven, she was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything receded, and she went back to the doctors in Boston, and they were like, there's no evidence that she was ever sick. And
wow.
she's probably like 7 years old, and she's like, yeah, I went to heaven, and somebody told me it wasn't my time yet, and I'm going to be fine. And that was the end of the story. So the rest of the movie is trying to get them to believe what she believes. So that was an amazing movie to me. And that definitely made me tear up, because kids die and they,
yeah.
I mean, like she was gone. Like she had fell into a broken tree and it took them hours to get her out.
Wow.
And then resuscitate her. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. But yeah. Good movie though. Good movie. If I can remember that, I will Google which movie it is. If I was near Alexa, I would ask her. I could ask my TV right now, but I don't.
Do you get the experience that Cindy has? Cindy has the Google version of that stuff. And she says that every once in a while, the Google one will interrupt their conversation and add to the conversation.
All the time.
All the time.
Anytime we see that, that's why they added, now you have to say, hey, Google, or okay, Google, in order for it. Because if you just say Google, it's going to keep popping up whenever you're just talking about it. So, yeah, that happens all the time. Or, like, I'll be in my mother's room with my phone, and I'll say, and she'll say, hey, Google, to ask her tablet a question, and then both our phones go off. So, yeah, we have that problem. All the Googles go off.
But now we can't use the word Google anymore.
Yeah, you can. You just don't say, hey, Google, or okay, Google.
Okay, so if I include hey or okay in there, then that it activates. Otherwise, it doesn't activate. Because otherwise,
well, it also activates according to your voice too. Like, you have to have voice recognition set up.
Because I could see that becoming a problem. You want to Google something, and you know, Google Voice answers back and says, no, I'm not ready to ask the question yet.
Right. Yep. But it's very lifelike. So you just say never mind, and they go, okay, let me know when you're ready. Especially Alexa loves when I say thank you. She's like, no problem.
Or you're having a conversation and you say, I was Googling something, and Google says, yes, how can I help you with all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
We're actually reaching the point where the artificial intelligence voices are friendlier than the people on the customer service line. I mean, it's kind of
so scary. True. So true. Which is why if they understood every letter I was trying to say, then I wouldn't mind not speaking to a human, but I'm just so used to speaking to a human. I feel I can get things done faster. So I'm just like, agent, agent. Like, no matter what they ask, the voice is asking me for, I'm just like, agent.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. See, now you've knocked out of my mind what my next movie was. I have
okay,
a good
cool,
one in mind.
Okay, cool, because I got five more. So.
Oh, I know what it was. I want to
okay,
go back.
Ahead.
I want to go back over 40 years.
Ooh.
Star Wars.
Bum, bum, bum. That's actually going to segue into my next one. Go ahead.
Star Wars was a law of attraction movie.
Basically, the Force, hello.
I mean, one long law of attraction movie. Synchronicity yeah. after synchronicity. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything just comes to it was so synchronous that it was campy.
I like that you said that.
It was a wonderful kind of campy, but yeah. It was campy. It was stereotypically campy. I mean, but that was part of the charm, and that's how you knew everything was going to work out. So even though you're in the second to last scene, and Luke is trying to destroy the Death Star, and his first shot misses, you know he's going to get it with the second one. You
it's
know
gonna
it.
Be fine. There's like 15 minutes left. It's really great. That's how I judge whether a movie's going to be okay or not. Wait, if we're getting towards the end and it's crunch time and all of a sudden it's like, oh no, what's happening? And then you realize there's 20 minutes left, so it'll work out.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's always a clue, right? Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. So, okay, Star Wars, The Force definitely is all about law of attraction. Joel and I, actually, a number of years ago, like probably about 5 years ago, we did a show on May the Force Be With You.
Did you do it on the 4th?
Oh, actually, we did it in December. We did it because it was just before the release of one of the later movies, so we did it after we tied it in. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know how Joel loves his movie, so.
Well, that one was actually my
idea. Topic.
But... This is true. So, what's your next one?
Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of law of attraction in that one, no doubt about
it. I mean, just the whole thing, like. You're destined to do this, but he chose his own path, especially for me. I feel like the full law of attraction comes in with the Horcruxes. He had no clue where, when, how, why he was going to find these things, but.
And he found all of them.
They found them all.
Yep. Now it does help if you've got a piece of Voldemort's soul, you know, stuck in your body. That does actually help a little bit, but.
When I think the number one Horcrux that I felt was manifested, actually, I was what I want to say, the sword wasn't the Horcrux, but when the sword appeared in the lake and Ron just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Spoilers. Yeah.
We're with the 5-year rule, we're okay.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh my God. Yeah, that was crazy. I was like, what? How? know. I was like, I know it's a movie about magic, but this is a bit much. We are reaching here.
But it was cool. It was cool.
Yep.
And it did focus. I mean, that's exactly what they were focusing on. And all of a sudden, what they needed most appeared.
Yep. And I did hear that, what's her name? The creator. What's her name?
Rowling
is very into Law of Attraction.
I would not be surprised.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Especially considering what her story is. Mm-hmm. I mean, her story is almost as good as the Harry Potter story.
Facts. You know?
She came from nothing. She was not homeless, but she was pretty destitute. She was a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
She was not real happy. She had a kind of a rough to do with her mom and father and so forth. And, it's just, she had a lot that she went through. And then she just skyrocketed.
Yeah. Same thing with Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry too?
Tyler Perry was homeless. He wanted to be an actor, but he was trying to put on these plays, but nobody was going to see them. Mm. And he ended up homeless. He was living in his car. And then he decided, okay, well, I'm going to put this play on myself. And then slowly people started coming and seeing it, and it just snowballed from there. Now he owns his own studio. It's insane.
Wow. Okay. So let's hope some of the Tyler Perry magic rubs off on the grass is greener. I mean, I like that.
Yes.
You mentioned the story about the girl who died and came back because it wasn't her time.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of another movie, a Warren Beatty movie from many years ago, Heaven Can Wait.
Ooh, yes. Didn't they do, I think they did a remake of that one. They did with Chris Rock.
I think you're right, yes.
Yeah, because yes. I saw the Chris Rock one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate Chris Rock, but it was all right.
Oh, what's wrong with Chris Rock? He's not that bad.
I just don't like him. I just don't. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's his voice. I don't know. I can't stand him.
I mean, I don't like some of the comic routines that he does, but...
No.
I mean...
Maybe it's from that.
He's a nice person in most ways.
Yeah, he is a nice person, and he's part of the whole Adam Sandler Boston gang, so, you know. I mean, that's cool and all, but he's not my cup of tea.
Oh, well.
Can't win them all.
Sorry, Chris, you lost one there, but...
All the Chris's, actually, let me tell you, because...
All Chris...
Chris Tucker is another one that gets on my last nerve.
So, word to anybody who's an aspiring actor, do not adopt the name Chris as part of your stage name, because you'll lose Alex immediately.
Because... I don't know, maybe I'm a little racist, because I like all the white Chris's, like Chris Evans. Like, okay, I'm not going to say all the white Chris's. I like the Marvel Chris's. I like the Marvel Chris's.
Okay.
So Chris Evans and Chris Pratt and what was the other? What's the other Chris? Oh, my Marvel fans are going to be mad at me. There's Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, and I forget who the other Chris is. But yeah, so I like the Marvel Chris's.
Third Chris, we really didn't mean to leave you in the dust. You're actually very important.
We didn't. So sorry, not sorry. I got a lot on my mind.
Well, we do have a world premiere happening tomorrow, so it's understandable. But
my poster.
she's cheating. She's checking her.
Chris Hemsworth. Oh my God.
Hemsworth. Oh, there we go.
Oh, thank God for that poster. I was like, you're not a Chris, you're not a Chris, you're a Chris.
Well, I think we've done the Chris thing now, so. But Heaven Can Wait, I thought, was a good LOA movie because it was very much the same theme as the girl you were talking about in that this guy dies. He's an NFL quarterback. He dies when he's not supposed to die. It's a mistake, which is actually kind of a funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven making a mistake. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's
it happens.
But anyway, he comes back and he actually comes back and wins the Super Bowl, which I think is really corny. But I thought that I haven't seen the version that you saw, but I love the Warren Beatty version because I thought Beatty pulled off the character really, really well.
Because
Beatty's version of the character was he was very focused on what he wanted, and he really wasn't sure how he was going to get there. He just kept saying, "You guys owe me this life. I want this life. This is my, this is all I have no other interest in anything else. And in fact, when he would try to get people on his side, he treated like they were all in a huddle, in a football huddle. And he was, you know, cheering them on, getting them excited to make the next play and score the touchdown and so forth. Like he was totally focused on what he wanted.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically the same in the newer version where, but except, of course, because it's Chris Rock, he was a comedian. He was a struggling comedian.
That was a comedian instead.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Ironically. He was a struggling comedian, and then they decided to, because he died by accident, same storyline, died by accident. They were like, all right, we're going to give you a new body, a temporary body, and they gave him some old, fat, white, rich guy, and he still wanted to be a comedian. So he was like, trying all his old jokes, which worked because he was black, and he was trying them as this old, you know, Trump-looking guy, and and it just didn't work.
People not really,
like,
no.
Did he just say the N-word? What is happening? So he realized he had to go back, think from a different perspective, and that's where he got different perspective on that. And then he also met the girl of his dreams. And she was like, well, I don't care what you look like, you know, I'm in love with your soul. And I was like, oh, and then he ended up, you know, having a semi-successful, comedy career. And then they were like, all right, your real body's ready.
Your real body's ready.
Yeah. And he was like, no, I like this guy. I want to be him. I like my life. But yeah, so they were like, they took him anyway. And they were like, and they were like, here's your new body. But he had no memory of his past adventures in the rental body.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he still ended up with the same life. He still ended up with the same girl, the same life. It was good. It was a good movie.
Okay. Okay. We actually have one of our live streamers came up with a movie.
Is it Jeffrey?
No, it's not Jeffrey. It's Daniel today.
Hi, Daniel.
And, well, actually, he came up with two things. He says, first, I know this isn't a movie, but the TV series My Name is Earl has an LOA theme.
Fuck! Yes, yes, yes. Facts. That whole entire series was about Law of Attraction. I mean, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't even think of that. I mean, that was early 2000s, so, you know, my brain. But yeah, so have you seen My Name is Earl?
I have not seen the whole thing, though.
Okay, so let me tell you about My Name is Earl. So basically, it starts off with this guy who's, like, down on his luck. Like, he's lives in a trailer with his brother, and you know, things aren't... Are you really drinking milk?
I do. I drink milk, believe
people
it or not.
People who drink milk, like, as like, a regular thing are really weird.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No, milk is... Actually, milk is
an improvement
on what I
used to eat. I mean, I know it does a body good, but I just... I don't know, like...
My breakfast improved by switching to just drinking milk.
All right, true. It is morning. All right, it's breakfast. I'll allow it.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it comes from. I mean, I used to, you know, eat the pancakes and the syrup and all that kind of stuff, and I've switched over to this. This is a step up.
Good for you. All right, yeah. I'll allow it.
Thank you.
Anyways,
not like
my name is Earl.
You didn't have any say in the matter, but still.
I know. It's not like you're going to be like, I can't drink milk anymore. Alex did, so.
She embarrassed me into not drinking milk anymore.
She milk shamed me.
She milk shamed me.
Cow shamed me.
I've been milk shamed. I'm so depressed.
Oh, and all the farmers can at me at.
Send all your empty cartons to Alex at loatoday.net.
With my picture on it. Oh, that'd be funny. Now I need a t-shirt with a picture of myself on a milk carton. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't.
By the way, Daniel also had a second one. He says, the Disney movie Halloween Town, the way a witch describes how magic works is think of what you want and then let yourself have it.
Ooh, good answer. Good answer. I've seen all the Halloween Towns, even the really bad one where they changed the main actress. I'm like, oh, so this is what you grew up to be? Okay. All right, whatever. And then they brought her back in the one after that. I was like, what was the point? What are we doing? Maybe she was busy. Whatever. I'll let Disney slide. But
it was magic. That's what it was.
She went away to college. She was a whole new person. And then the next one, she was the original character. I was like, what? Disney.
I have to explain.
My name is Earl. So anyways, he's down on his luck. And then all of a sudden he finds a lottery ticket on the ground, picks it up. And it's for like $4 million, something, some crazy amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, who's real in your life and how are you going to spend this money? And he ends up spending the money, you know, giving back and attracting more and more good karma. And he was that was the thing. He was all about good karma after that because it felt like the karma is what led him to the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he did something that was bad karma, it happened like immediately. So it was a really good, you know, I'm going to watch that. I'm going to rewatch it. It was such a good show. Such a good show.
Very strong law of attraction theme though.
Yes. I got to write that down. Hold on. Hashtag my name is Earl.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Daniel. Those are two very good entries. Really, really good.
And hashtag Halloween Town.
So what else do you have on your list of law of attraction television series and movies?
Okay. We always talk about soulmates and the afterlife. Well, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say always, but sometimes we do. So that brings me to the Robin Williams film, What Dreams May Come.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That movie, I was like, not expecting to cry, but I was tissues the entire movie.
Mm.
I'm not a big crier, but like, woo, child.
That was a film when it came out, didn't really do very well. And I knew
totally
a lot of people.
Totally underrated film. Totally underrated.
Well, I knew a lot of people who didn't like it.
Yeah, me too.
They just didn't like it at all. And I can understand why, given, you know, when I heard what their reasons were.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it, obviously it came out long before I knew anything about Law of Attraction. And so when I saw it, I didn't have anything I could relate it to because I didn't have that Law of Attraction background yet. But it resonated. It's like, I know that parts of this probably are not accurate about how things really are in the non-physical world. But
this is what I fully believe. That's why it resonated with me.
There's so much of it that is.
Yeah.
It does resonate. So mm-hmm. much of it does make sense to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe that's what got me onto the journey of discovering Law of Attraction in the first place. Maybe that's why I ended up seeing The Secret many years later. Maybe that's why I, you know, followed this path. I don't know. But that film really, it was kind of an early precursor for me of Law of Attraction teaching.
Now, I saw What Dreams May Come after I saw The Secret.
Oh, you did?
But I still didn't equate the two.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just felt like this is what I've always believed, that, you know, you can choose to come back or you can stay in heaven with your soulmate. Like, that's up to you.
Yep. That, by the way, there's a nice little thing that fortunately we don't have to worry about the spoiler because it came out so many years ago, but I love the way that film ends. Because they decide to come back together and you see them as kids.
Yes, it was so gorgeous. Oh, my God.
Yeah, on the dock and she comes over, hands him a sandwich. And
yeah, that was so cute.
And I love the laugh.
You know what else I love
about
it?
The way those kids laughed.
Oh, it's
like, oh, we did it. We found each other.
The one thing I loved about it was the colors. You know how he was like trapped in a painting?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's so shiny.
Brilliant. Yeah.
That's what got me and the whole theme and the rest of it. And
the cinematography was really, really good in that film.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there must have been some kind of special effects going on, but
Course.
It was really well done. Really, really well done. Yeah. So, okay. All right. What Dreams May Come. That's a good choice. I like that one.
Now,
what else do you have on your list?
These last two.
Okay.
Have spoilers because they're recent movies.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be careful.
All right.
Endgame.
I would expect that because you are the spoiler alert queen, so you know when to be careful.
Yeah, I know when to tiptoe. Endgame.
Okay.
And A Dog's Purpose / Journey, because there's two movies, but I don't remember which one came first.
Okay. All right.
So Endgame, I feel, had a Law of Attraction theme because Thanos, I mean, we all know that we all know the major story. Thanos was like, no, this is how it should be. This is how I'm going to make it happen. It doesn't matter how many years it's going to take me. This is what's going to happen. And then at the same time, well, no, actually that was Infinity War. And then in Endgame, everybody else was like, no, we can fix it. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take, but it's going to happen. We're going to get everyone back. It'll be fine. And that's all I can say about that without spoiling it.
Very good of you, I might say.
Then A Dog's Purpose and A Dog's Journey is basically like about what dreams may come, but in the eyes of a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So this dog is reincarnated to another dog, but his purpose is to find his original master.
Mm-hmm.
And so he keeps coming back and coming back, and he's a great dog and all these. And then in the next movie, his purpose, I think it is purpose, his purpose is to find his original master's granddaughter.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, it's just so cute. Again, tissues, please. Like, Kleenex should be sponsoring this movie. Like, really?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's good. Actually, there is another one that I need to bring up, too. And it's one that both Joel Elston and Linda Armstrong, who does the Friday podcast with me, have brought up repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
And that is The Matrix.
Ooh, I was going to say that, but I was like, how much time do I have to go to detail about that?
You have about 5 minutes, actually.
Oh, my God. The Matrix.
Linda especially likes talking about how everything in The Matrix was created by the human mind. Well, actually, it's created by an alien mind, but it was drawn from the human mind.
Yeah.
And that essentially it is a wonderful metaphor for what it's like to live in this world, which is an imaginal world. You know, the physical world as we are now understanding it is a world created from imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And that its only reality exists because of the imagination.
Yes.
So in that sense, we are living within the Matrix.
Right.
Which makes me wonder, okay, so where are the aliens?
Apparently, Area 51, which everyone seems to be trying to storm on September 20th, 2019.
You know, I saw a reference to that. I didn't realize what was actually going on. There's an actual thing where they're going to try to storm it in
there's
September.
A bunch of dumbasses that are going to get, they're getting together in like group form, like with their pitchforks and their their fire, and they're going to storm Area 51 on September 20th. Now, first of all, the fact that you're mobilizing is one thing, because this whole thing is stupid. Second of all, you're announcing it. You're announcing that you're coming. You're telling the military, hey, we're going to come knock on your door. This time, this date, the invitations have been sent out. Please, you know, be ready.
Yeah, they need to rethink this one, I think.
I think so. Because it's too much. I mean, I'm laughing at all the memes, but that's as far as I'll go.
Law of attraction actually does play a role in attracting what we don't want.
Yes.
And it's a good idea to understand that part of the law of attraction. So many people skip that. And so I would commend to those who are planning to storm Area 51 that you consider the fact that if you keep focusing on what you really don't like, you're going to get it.
And what happens, there was a thing that said, it was like Joe Biden and somebody else, and it's like there was a picture of them laughing, and it said, September 19th, when we moved everything to Area 52 with a copy of Shrek 5. I was like, oh my.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
I was like, you guys are idiots. I was like, I get that you want to mobilize and do this whole stupid thing, but like, really? Like, announcing it on Facebook and Twitter and all the social medias, like, you're stupid.
Every time I hear a story like this, I'm reminded of, speaking of the West Wing, a West Wing episode in which the FBI is involved in tracking down some terrorist or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. And it was church burning. That's right. The theme was church burning. And they tracked down whoever was doing the church burning.
Uh-huh.
And one of the FBI agents comes to the White House to tell everybody, we found the guy. You know, we tracked him down. And so Josh Lyman, one of the assistants, drags him into the Oval Office to tell the president himself, give him the good news himself. And he says, oh, no, no, we don't do curtain calls. He says, oh, no, no, come on, you're going to tell the story. So they go into the Oval Office. He tells the president, and the president says, how'd you get him? And he says, well, we pulled him over on a broken taillight.
See?
And he says, I've always been very proud of the fact that some of the stupidest criminals in the world live right here in America. And that's the line I always remember whenever I hear about
it. I like it.
Stuff like this. Because you're absolutely right. I think there is something to the theory that a criminal wants to be caught.
Yes. Yes.
I think there's something to that theory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite fully understand the psychology of it, but
yeah,
it plays out time and time again.
Mm-hmm. I'm no psychologist, but there are a lot of dumb people on this planet.
So on that wholesome and happy note, we'll have to draw this to a close. But it has been fun, and I like the fact that you brought this up. This is a good topic, so thank you for sharing it with us. And we'll have to go back to this one again sometime, because this is one there's like a long list of films you can do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
there's no end to the list of films, so thanks for bringing that up. Thank you to our live streamers, including Daniel, for your two contributions. That was wonderful. Thank you to our podcast listeners as well. We will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.